Now, when we're trying to understand the ability of a soil to release nutrient cation, the cation exchange capacity is one of the standard parameters that's measured. So the units that I mentioned before are centimoles per kilogram. And to work this out, we do an analysis to determine the milliequivalence of cation. And it's on the basis of univalent cations, so for instance, millimoles of sodium plus. We have to worry about the charge, so a 2 plus charge then, half a mole of that is as effective in the cation exchange capacity of 1 millimole of sodium plus. It's a parameter that's readily measured. We simply leach the soil to remove the cations that are present. We put ammonium onto the soil. That takes all of the cation exchange sites and it puts a 1 plus cation there. So this is now NH4 plus. We then remove all of the ammonium off and we measure how much ammonium we've just taken off. And that gives us our value for the cation exchange capacity. The first process where we removed all of the individual cations, we can go through and we can analyse that and we can work out so how much of the cation exchange capacity was due to iron, how much of it was due to calcium, etc. Another parameter that's widely used in describing the situation in terms of the clay minerals in the soils is the chemical index of alteration. So this is a straightforward calculation where you look at the relationship between the amount of aluminium, calcium, sodium and potassium in the sample. So if we look at some clay minerals, the first example, kaolinite clay. We know that this is at the end run of weathering, so it's a secondary mineral. The chemical index of alteration is now 100 for this thing because of its relationship between silicon, aluminium and potassium in the formula unit. And it's got a miserable value for the cation exchange capacity in terms of its centimoles per kilogram. For illite, another type of secondary clay mineral, this is now a 2-to-1 clay mineral. This one then is further up in that weathering sequence, closer to the start, so CIA is lower, and the CEC is larger because it's now got an interlayer space. We're able to put cations into the interlayer space. And then our smectites, which are the best of all at this, because we've got a big interlayer space, we can fit lots of cations in. Chemical index of alteration, it's about the same period in the weathering sequence, but got a much higher value for the CEC. And if we go to where these clays started from, the feldspars, you can see that these are early up in the weathering sequence as primary minerals, and the cation exchange capacity is just the whole external surface of that piece of mineral. So there's basically no cation exchange capacity, just defect sites. And basalts as well, another example then of a... this thing closer to the magma stool and something with a very low cation.